Hey y'all, welcome back. Today I wanted to talk about working out, specifically as a type 1 diabetic and kind of how that differs, how that scientifically differs in our bodies, and what we can do to make sure we're getting those gains. Again, this is one of those episodes where I do have to say I am not a doctor, I'm not a registered nurse yet, I'm not a nutritionist. Like, this is all just from personal research and trial and error and personal experiences. So, talk to your doctor or nutritionist or endo, if you have any major questions about working out in type 1 and all that good stuff. But this is just my personal take on it. So, take everything with a grain of salt. Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about working out as a type 1 diabetic, how that differs in our bodies, and what I do. So, I'm excited. Now, I'm going to start with some highs and lows. So, my high is that I started doing Pilates this week and I absolutely love it. And I kind of feel like that's on par for this episode. I have never really thought about doing Pilates before. Until this summer, I kind of looked at Pilates as something that was more of, I don't know, maybe for older people, low impact, just, a good way to move your body, not necessarily like a workout, Yeah, I was wrong. I was very wrong. My abs have never hurt so bad in my life, and that's coming from a gym girly who works out like 6 days a week, and lifts and does Orange Theory and yoga and all that good stuff. So yeah, Pilates is hard. And I highly recommend it. So, yeah, I started doing Pilates. I absolutely love it. My blood sugars have been great. I am sore in places I've never been sore before. It's definitely building that lean muscle, and I'm excited to see results from this summer. So, I've taken like three classes now, and I'm loving it. So, yeah, that's my high. And then low, I would probably say I'm missing my Texas friends. It's so interesting being in college because it kind of feels like you live two different lives. Like, I have my life here in Reno with, all my friends from high school and my family and, going and doing things up in Tahoe and, doing the same old thing. And yeah, doing everything at home with everybody. And then I have my life in Texas where it's all my nursing friends and, we've all met in the past like few years and it's hot there and there's different things I do there. And yeah, I live two completely different lives. But I miss my girls from Texas. But I will say I do love being home, but I do miss my girls from Texas. Two of them are actually flying up for the fourth to hang out with me here, so I'm excited to see them. But yeah, miss my Texas girls, miss Texas. I kind of miss nursing school, as crazy as that sounds. I don't know. I love nursing. I absolutely love it, even though school can get kind of stressful sometimes. I miss it. I never thought I'd say that, but yeah. And then when I go back to Texas, I'm sure I'll be saying, "Oh my gosh, I miss home." But I guess that's a good issue to have. So, anyways, that's my highs and lows for the day, and I'm just gonna get right into it. So I'm just gonna kind of start out with the science behind everything, and then it'll all come full circle in the end. So I'm just gonna start out with the basics about high and low blood sugars and what that does to your body. And then we'll start talking about insulin. So starting out with the basics, high blood sugar, low blood sugar. A low blood sugar is obviously when you do not have glucose in your body, not enough glucose in your cells. And glucose is kind of like that energy source that your body needs to function, right? So this is why when long term, if you let your blood sugars run low, people have issues with seizures and other issues. Like your brain literally cannot function without glucose. Same with your muscles and same with like working out. That's why like if you are working out and your blood sugar is low, stop, drink your juice, and then go back to it. Like you can't fake it till you make it with a low blood sugar. Like, you cannot function with low blood sugar. Okay, so high blood sugar. I was trying to figure out how I wanted to explain this, and I explained it pretty well when I talked about the science behind diabetes, I think a couple months ago in one of my episodes, where I talked about hemoglobin and what an A1C is and glycosylation. But I'm gonna keep it simple this episode. So I am just going to kind of describe it. and this is not very scientifically correct, but this is how it makes sense in my head. I'm going to describe high blood sugar as kind of making your blood like honey. And this is not scientific, but it's going to make more sense in your brain. So I'm going to describe it as kind of being like honey. So the more excess sugar you have in your blood, keeping you out of range and those like higher blood sugar ranges, the more and more glucose is building up in your cells and in your blood. So think of your blood kind of turning into honey. And your body needs blood for all its organs, for everything. Just like it needs glucose for your brain to function and everything to function, it needs blood to be pumped throughout to make sure that your organs are functioning and, breathing and hypothetically breathing and all that good stuff. So when you have honey blood, your blood obviously isn't going to be getting to places as efficiently. It's not going to be working as efficiently. The things it is carrying are not going to be as efficient. And in turn, over long term, it's going to hurt your organs, right? And this is where we come into that issue of long-term high blood sugars, starting with your feet and like getting tingly feet and like sometimes amputations and all that crazy stuff, because your feet are the most distal part of your body. So of course that's kind of where it's going to affect first. So yeah, basic basics, high and low blood sugar, not great. So you got your honey blood and then you got your lack of glucose slash energy can't function. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about insulin. And I know there's been lots of talk for several years about insulin causing weight gain. Some people believe it does, some people believe it doesn't. Lots of research. I've done lots of research. I've talked to lots of people. And I've just kind of come to the conclusion that yes, it can. Definitely more so than a non-diabetic. But how do I want to say this? It's not the first factor that's going to make you gain weight. Like you're not just going to inject insulin and oh my gosh, I just gained 5 pounds. Like that's not how it works. It's more of like a secondary thing that's kind of hard to avoid. So I'm gonna explain that. I hope that all made sense. I'm just talking out loud. So your body is programmed to use glucose, we're back to glucose now, as either an energy source, and if it doesn't use it as an energy source, it's going to store it as fat. And insulin is that factor that's given usually by your pancreas, but for some of us, obviously we have to inject it. Insulin is going to be that factor that converts that glucose into energy for the body, and that is insulin's job, and that's why we need it so bad. And that's why you see, as newly diagnosed diabetics, you might be losing a lot of weight, losing a lot of muscle, because that insulin isn't getting to turn that glucose into energy. So it's going nowhere. It's just kind of sitting in your blood, and you don't get to use it in your body. It's kind of just like a stop to the process. So you need insulin to turn glucose into energy. Now, as a diabetic who has to manually be their own pancreas, we unfortunately are not God and cannot give the perfect ratio of insulin every single time. It's literally just a guessing game, and we all know this. Type 1 diabetes management is truly treated through sophisticated guessing. It's been like years and years of research and just lots of really good, smart, sophisticated guessing. And we're guessing really well now in 2023, and like things are going great, and we have pumps that really, really help, but it all kind of is just a sophisticated guessing game. So over time, insulin could cause more weight gain due to increasing the amount of energy your body can absorb at a given blood sugar level. So when this happens, and you don't use all the energy that your body absorbs, it will turn to fat. And that's kind of just how it works. Now, disclaimer, I do want to say type 1 diabetes is not caused by weight gain, eating too much sugar, anything that has to even do with fat. As most of you guys know, it's an autoimmune disease. It could be triggered by the environment. It could be, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting the word? It could be, it could run in the family. That's what I'm trying to say. It could run in the family. Genetic, that's the word. It could be genetics, But yeah, no one really knows what causes type 1. So I'm always very careful about talking about weight gain and all that sort of stuff with type 1 diabetes because it is not a it's just not a side by side, hand in hand relationship. But this does need to be talked about when discussing working out. So, okay, that's insulin, that's high and low blood sugars. Okay, so why is it harder to gain muscle as a type 1 diabetic? So, let's think about bodybuilders. What do they need to eat to build lots and lots of muscle? What are they like so focused on in their macros? What's like their number one macro goal? Protein, typically. Protein equals muscle gains. Okay, so as a type 1 diabetic, protein, yes, we all need protein to gain muscle and all that good stuff. But it could also spike blood sugar long term after several hours. Not that protein's bad, but that's just what research has shown. Eat your protein, guys. But I mean, that's the reality bit. So, low blood sugar and high blood sugar are also going to kind of hinder your ability to gain muscle. So, as we already talked about, with highs and lows, you have your honey blood and then you have that lack of glucose. So, with high blood sugar, it's going to increase your protein breakdown and it's going to reduce protein synthesis. So, when I think about this, I kind of think about the keto diet. So, as a newly diagnosed type 1, usually you go into ketoacidosis, hopefully. Not, but type 1's hard to catch. So usually you're in ketoacidosis by the time you catch it. And this is when all that muscle wasting and like fat breakdown and all that stuff is going on because all that glucose in your body is not getting converted to energy because you don't have insulin. Same thing with the keto diet. And I've talked about this a couple of times. This is why I'm kind of not a keto diet stan because ketoacidosis isn't great for your body. So triggering ketoacidosis in your body, not being a type 1 diabetic, I think is kind of crazy. But yeah, so ketones are going to break down your protein and I mean essentially muscle and fat, which isn't great. Okay, so low blood sugar, as we talked about, is going to strip your cells of energy. You are going to have nothing left no matter how much you give. You need glucose to function, your brain needs glucose to function, and your brain will stop before you do, honestly. Like, you can be the most strong, mentally wonderful person in the world, and if you don't have glucose in your body's not going to function. It's like its battery. Okay, so why does all this matter? This matters because as a type 1 diabetic, if you are working out and trying to build muscle or make gains or whatever fitness goal you have, you're going to have to work twice as hard as a normal person. And I don't say that to be like rude. It's just the reality of it. And once you understand the science breakdown of it, it can become so much easier to see results. But I definitely think that's kind of an important thing to know. So, yeah. So ideally, to have the best results ever, your blood sugars will be in that, 80 to 100 range 24/7, specifically when you are working out to make sure you maximize your body's gains, if you will. Now, as I said, we are not God. That is not realistic. So yeah, we're just gonna have to work doubly as hard because our blood sugars aren't going to stay in that range all the time as a non-diabetic blood sugar would. So part of this, we have to start thinking about what we eat and carbs, and I don't mean necessarily in a diet sort of way, but if you are looking for muscle gain, it's definitely good to think about what you're eating and where that's going and how it's affecting your blood sugars. Because, like I said, if your blood sugar's low, you're not gonna be able to work out. You just won't. You need to go eat something and then continue your workout. And if your blood sugar is high and you're starting to go into that whole protein synthesis thing, your workout essentially isn't going to count. Like, muscle is not going to be built, or very, very, very minimal muscle is going to be built. And that's the way it works. Okay. So before I get into how I combat all of this, I do want to talk about carbs because this is also such a thing that is being talked about everywhere. And there's so many different ideas for type 1 diabetics. Should we eat carbs? Should we not eat carbs? Are carbs bad? Are carbs good? Everyone in the world needs carbs, right? Carbs are energy. That is our energy source as humans. Carbs are in all foods. Give or take. Carbs are in most foods. And it's our energy source, and carbs are good. They're our fuel. They're our body's fuel. And we need them to build muscle, just as we need protein and all those other good macros to build muscle. Now, am I saying, oh my gosh, we need to like weigh out all of our food and, no. Like we don't need to like track our carbs and sugar and protein and everything to a T. You could. I know personally I can't. That's just too much for me to think about with everything else going on in life. But you could. But I don't think you necessarily need to. And I want to talk a little bit about the Mastering Diabetes program. I actually did get their book and I've talked about their podcast in a few previous episodes. But basically, Mastering Diabetes talks about having a low carb, plant-based whole foods diet as a type 1 diabetic, and it helps reverse insulin resistance. It helps lose weight if that's what you're trying to do. It helps basically just manage your blood sugars to a normal range and helps with your A1C. And I've been reading their book, and they have done so much research, and they are such smart individuals. However, I do believe in kind of maintaining just a healthy balance and everything in moderation. I don't think as a type 1 diabetic you need to make huge changes that alter your life. I think it's very, very possible to live a happy, healthy, normal life without diabetes having a control over that. With that being said, let's say if I was, I don't know, a little older and super struggling with my type 1 and my numbers are crazy. Yeah, I'd probably resort to this plant-based low carb whole food diet. Even now, honestly, like that's great. I just know for me personally that I love meat. My family hunts, so I'm not gonna go vegan. So basically, this diet is a vegan diet, but with more carbs than I think the normal person would eat, based off of eating more fruits, vegetables, and like hearty grains. So I think it's great. I think it is great, but again, long term, I'm not gonna go vegan for this because I'm already healthy and happy. However, I do love the incorporation of whole foods and incorporating more fruits, more veggies, into your diet, and that is something I've been working on this summer, specifically with greens. I've been trying to have one green-based meal a day, which I think has been really awesome for my blood sugars. However, I do have protein. I do usually add like chicken or salmon or something to those meals because I like protein and I need protein and it makes me feel good and it makes me work out well, and that's just something I know my body needs. So again, it really is dependent on everyone's body and position and all that good stuff. No body is the same. I just know for my body, I need protein. So that's my whole thing. Okay, but I'm gonna get into my routine. So as I was saying, I kind of focus on being a girl who kind of just eats everything in moderation. I focus on having greens and typically like at least like one meat source of protein a day in a meal. I am again not tracking foods, I'm not weighing foods, I'm not like planning out what I'm gonna eat. It's just something I'm very, cautious of, and I just kind of think about it throughout the day, but it's not something that's controlling my life. And then again, I focus on having whole foods, such as if I want a snack, I'm probably going to grab some whole fruit rather than a protein bar. Like both are great for you, both contain different macros, but as a type one, in a much less, macro scale and looking more on like a nutritional scale, it's much less about nutrition as a whole and or much more about nutrition as a whole and much less about, focusing on those specific bodybuilding macros, I personally think. So I do try to eat about half my body weight in protein. Again, I don't track my macros, but I'm just cognizant. I eat carbs, I eat sugar here and there, and I monitor because at the end of the day, your body does not know what the difference between a chocolate bar that has 20 carbs in it is versus a apple that has 20 carbs is. It's still sugar, it still converts the same way. So that's kind of my take on food, kind of everything in moderation, everything in balance, depending what you have, make sure you give those pre-boluses or don't give those pre-boluses. You kind of just got to figure out what works with your body, and it's definitely again, a sophisticated guessing game, but it is super doable. And I don't know, that's kind of just what works for me. So it can be different for everyone, but that's just kind of my routine. As for working out, I do focus mainly on high intensity interval training workouts and functional strength training and low impact cardio kind of in between those HIIT workouts. Not because I'm type 1 diabetic, that's just what I like. I enjoy doing it. Most of my fitness classes are HIIT workouts. I go to Orange Theory a lot. Again, I just started doing Pilates and I do yoga, so that's kind of that functional, low impact training. And then I love to run and walk. So hiking, walking, running, I like to incorporate that in between, not because of blood sugars or anything. I don't know, that's what makes me feel good and my body gives me good numbers in return. So I don't know if those are in relationship with each other, but that's just kind of what I do personally. Now on that topic of blood sugars, when I'm high, I will try to focus on more of a low impact cardio exercise if I have the ability to. Like obviously if you're signed up for an Orange Theory class and you're there and in class your number goes high, I mean you could leave, I guess, but I hope you don't leave. Like just do the workout, it all counts. But if I am at home and kind of doing my own workouts and I do see my numbers like maybe like 250, I probably am going to opt for like a little bit of a jog or even just like a nice long walk versus like heavy duty weight lifting, just because I know that my body is going to respond a lot more to the walk than the weight lifting because, all the protein synthesis stuff and, your body's just not going to work as great because your number's not as great. So might as well do something that supports your body, even though you may really, really want to weight lift that day. And you could weight lift if you wanted to, but that's just kind of how my mind operates. And I'm like, okay, this is probably what my body wants. This is what I'm going to get the most results out of. So this is what we're going to do today. When I'm low, again, I do not work out until I am back up. Lows can sometimes be a little quicker, easier to treat. So maybe you just, chug that juice box, wait 5 minutes, your number's back up, you can keep going. And I mean, aside from drinking that juice box, it's not really gonna impact your body as long as it's not a long-term low. Definitely don't work out while you're low. But honestly, everything in moderation. Everyone has different opinions. Someone might not agree with like my way of thinking of things, working out and lifting as a type 1 diabetic. But and it all just depends on your body and what works for you. What works for me might not work for other people. But yeah, ideally, in my mind, I just think everything in moderation, with nutrition is a great way to go. And then kind of centering your workouts based off of what your blood sugar is great. And just do what makes you happy and do what works. And I think that's about all I have for today. That kind of ended abruptly. But yeah, I really enjoyed talking about that. That was a lot of sciencey stuff. So yeah, happy working out. And again, if you haven't tried Pilates, try Pilates because I'm absolutely in love with Pilates now. Officially a Pilates girl. So yeah, but that's all I have for today. So as always, for more things all type 1, you can visit my Instagram and TikTok page at always Ally Pod. And that's it. Thanks.